shit. I didn't even ask you. How do you say your last name? I guess like I just hit record and I was like, wait, I forgot something. So I know I'm here with you, Casey. Why don't you give a little introduction? I'm just going to like roll the ball to you right away and then I'll get into what we're talking about.
Okay. So my name on Instagram is Casey Shea. And I am a licensed esthetician and a lover of all things ethereal, spooky, metaphysical.
Yeah, which is how we met. I think we just sort of connected on Instagram, possibly through like the podcasting or something like that. But I just know that we've been Instagram friends for years now. And this is my first time having you on the podcast, and I'm really excited, and I want to sort of give a prelude to what we're going to be talking about just for the listeners. And so a lot of you are followers of astrology, and we just had this, like the nodes of fate, which determine our life path and our karma. We just had those change signs like earlier this year, and that's like a year and a half journey. So the South Node, which is what we're releasing, went into Libra, which is relationships. And so a lot of people are breaking up right now. And you had a breakup about, what, 2 years ago?
2020-ish, 21.
Yeah.
So about three, yeah.
Yeah. And so you had a serious breakup, and I know that because people are going through it right now and people's relationships are deteriorating, that it might be helpful for them to see or hear from a breakup success story, which is totally what I consider you, because I, like, as your friend and as someone who followed you on Instagram, like, I saw your life just fucking implode. Like, messy divorce. Like, her and I already discussed behind the scenes, we're not taking this to a negative place. But like a really messy divorce with kids and then like a new relationship and a new career path. So you just had like a beautiful, almost like Scorpio moment where it's like things burn down and then you rise from the ashes. And so I kind of wanted to ask you to tell your story, you know, starting from the beginning and going as deep as you want. And I'm going to kind of chime in and ask questions if that works for you.
That is fine.
Perfect.
My divorce started, and I start by the date that my ex-husband asked for a divorce, which was a week before Christmas in 2020. And that year had already been tumultuous for so many people. It was the most difficult part of my life.
Yeah.
And it was gut-wrenching, painful. I don't know how to describe it other than it was a tower card, because that is what you pulled for me.
Yeah.
Well, and you said, I'm so sorry.
Because I think you were like, what's going on? And I was like, ah, fuck. Left out. Like, it just seems very, like, out of left field. Like, I know you had told me that, like, he was going through almost, like, philosophical changes. But, like, when you talked to me about it, it seemed like it was, like, he was finding himself and it was, like, kind of a good thing. I forgot that it was a week before Christmas.
Yeah.
So did you guys play it like cool? Like, did you guys play it cool through Christmas to like not ruin Christmas? Yes.
Playing it cool. I am not a poker face kind of person.
Yeah.
And I don't hold on to secrets like that very well. So it was eating me inside. I had lost 5 pounds in a week it was so emotionally torturing for me. And I went from a man that I was married to for almost 11 years and together 7 years before that. And you think you know someone. And then all of a sudden out of left field, it was like, what? What?
Yeah. So how did that, like, and if you're like, that's too private, you don't have to say it. But like, how did that conversation go? Like, what was his reasoning and how did you even respond?
So going back to 2013, there was a moment when he kind of acted abnormal and we had just bought a house. My son was 4. And I basically told him to shape up or ship out. I said, we just bought a house. We, you know, get your shit together or get out. I'll sell the house. I don't care. And then he shaped up.
Nice.
But when this happened in 2020, I was kind of like, this is a cycle and I can't change this. This is something his soul needs to grow. And I just sobbed. And that was my last day of work. It was a Wednesday. And I was, Thursday was my last day of work before the 2-week break for Christmas. And I was sick the next morning. Like, I couldn't go to work. So I just sobbed and I felt betrayed because I had asked him a few times, are you okay? You know, you don't seem right. Like, he was very distant. And sometimes he was like that. He just needed his personal space and I allowed it. But this time it was different. He was very pale and very green. And I just remember him sitting at the foot of the bed and he was kind of like clammy looking, like pale.
Yeah.
And I said, are you okay? Did you eat something that like didn't agree with you? And he goes, no. He's like, I just have to get this out. I've been holding on to it and I wanted to wait until after Christmas, but I just cannot. And I said, well, what's wrong? And he goes, I'm unhappy. I want a divorce. And I remember my stomach just instantly, like that butterfly pit feeling where you're on an elevator and my stomach just dropped and I just started to cry. Uh-huh. I just kind of sat there and just cried.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm so sorry. And I said, don't say sorry to me.
Yeah. That's not what you want to hear.
I said, can we fix this? Like, what's wrong? Like, and he's like, I'm just not happy. And I said, happiness is an inside job.
Yeah.
This is not external. I said, this is something you have to find within yourself. And I had been through hypnotherapy school in 2019. So it was almost like a preface for this.
Mm-hmm.
It taught me how to understand people and how to kind of see what they're feeling and not absorb it.
Right.
So that was the start.
Okay.
Yeah. It was pretty hard.
So going through this breakup, how long were you guys living together still before he finally moved out? Like, how long did you have to carry this relationship knowing that it was falling apart?
So we made it through Christmas, and New Year's was actually our anniversary, New Year's Eve. And he was still acting off, and we usually had like a fun New Year's Eve party. We would usually either go to Vegas or we would have like a New Year's Eve dinner with crab and lobster, and we would invite friends over and celebrate, and we didn't do that. We kind of just stayed home and stayed quiet, which was tearing me up because that was awful. We hadn't told the kids yet. The kids knew something was going on. He was still sleeping in the bedroom. Things were looking normal, but don't feel normal. And my kids are very intuitive. Then at the end of, it was probably the beginning of January, he moved into the office across the hall from me and slept in there, and we told the kids what was going on. And then the end of January he moved out to his friend's house that had extra space, and that was difficult because the kids were with me most of the time and I was not emotionally capable of taking care of them.
Right.
And was he. So I really feel like it was very hard for the whole family unit.
Right.
he didn't want to tell anybody that we were getting a divorce, or that he had told his mom that that we were working on things, and he would tell me we're getting a divorce. So it was just a weird situation.
Right. And well,
and it made me,
sorry, go ahead.
No, it just made me feel emotionally unwell. Right. Unwell is the word.
Well, and if he's like, you know, we can't tell anyone, then you don't really have a source of support. You don't have an outlet to process.
Yeah.
How did you, so obviously like you're a spiritual person. You are a psychologically adept person. If you went to hypnotherapy school, you know, you understand like the subtle nuances of the brain and how emotions and thoughts are processed. So like, how did you use what you learned in hypnotherapy school to try to support not only yourself, but like your kids? And I almost feel like you are so nurturing. Like, I almost feel like in some ways you probably would have ended up like nurturing your ex through the process, like somehow emotionally carrying the burden for your ex who was leaving you.
Yep, I kind of did. It was awful. I really did not get out of bed for probably 2 weeks. I called into work for like almost 2 weeks straight because I had lost, by what was it, the end of February, I had lost probably close to 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And it was everything I could do to just get up in the morning and tell my kids, you know, Dad and I both love you. We have to give each other grace through this because there's things happening that I don't understand, and that's okay. Let's just try to love each other through this, and it will work out in the end. Mm-hmm. It may not be what you perceive to work out, but it will work out in the end. We will be happy in the end.
Yeah.
We have to work through this, and it's extremely painful, and know that I'm here, even though I don't look like I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah.
It was so hard to help your kids through it. And not only that, but when your ex would come into the house and say, oh, someone told me I'm making a big mistake, and how do you not say, yes, you are?
Right. And then it's also like, do I play into this? Is this a turning point? And then even like, how do I feel about this? Like, do I want to save it after this? Like,
Yes. I would say that there was a huge turning point. I remember February, I think it was February 21st. I was having panic attacks at night in my sleep. And I couldn't breathe, and I couldn't sleep. I wasn't eating. And I don't have a lot of family where I was living. So it was just basically my ex and my kids. And I had had such a horrid panic attack. I was laying on the bedroom floor, and I remember just seeing the date on the TV, and it had said February 21st, 2021. And I said, I don't want this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get up off the floor, but I managed to call my ex and say, hey, I need help. I've had a panic attack. I'm on the bedroom floor. And he came over and kindly put me back in bed. And he said, I'm sorry, and left.
Yeah.
And after that, I said, I don't choose this anymore. I can't do this. This is not healthy. I can't work. I can't eat. Like, this is awful. Yeah. I don't choose this anymore. And after that, I got a doctor's appointment, and I went and I cried and I begged him to put me on medication to help me just kind of level out this high intense emotion of defeat and sadness, and just separating yourself from a family unit. It's, I don't know how to describe it, but it was very emotionally tolling on my psyche.
Right. I feel like it would be like on an existential level, because reality as you knew it and the whole life path you'd mapped out in your head for 18 years, like, was totally gone. Like, I can't even imagine.
Yes. So, and as for me, I'm a Cancer, double Cancer Virgo. I was like, this is my unit. These are my people. I'm here to, I'm the glue. I take care of them, you know? But because my partner no longer wanted to be a partner, it was devastating.
Yeah, of course.
So, after that date, I begged, I went to the urgent care the next morning, and I begged for meds and just sobbed like uncontrollably. They put me on some medication. I slept for 2 days and I woke up and I said, oh my God, I can do this now. Yeah. I'm fine. I got in with a therapist. Actually, I was seeing a therapist starting in January, but I don't feel like she had the capacity to help me in the way I needed.
Right.
And Hannah encouraged me to get on medication. You know, it was all these small things that you just piece together to become a more whole person again, a different whole person. You piece yourself together.
Right. And I think it's important to like acknowledge when it's time to reach outside of yourself. Like when you can't, you know, especially in like the spiritual industry, there are a lot of practitioners who have an attitude about medication. And it's like, no, like... Yeah. Like we can be like scientific and we can be spiritual and we can like medicine.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's like, I applaud it, you know, and I applaud your openness about it. Cause I think that,
yes.
I think it's really important. Time. Yeah.
It is. And you know, I would have to say that saved my life because I wasn't suicidal, but because I couldn't hold any food down. I remember I was like 135 pounds ish, give or take. And I remember the scale was 106. I stepped on it. And this was a matter of 2 months. I went from a size 5 to a size 0 in like 2 months.
Right, because you're short too. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter what your height is, but it's like, you know, like when you, that's like nothing, no matter what your height is.
Yes. Yeah. And so it was awful and I didn't feel good. My body hurt.
Yeah.
And if you're not eating or sleeping, you can't make conscious good choices. And so that was my first step in becoming better. I got in with a general practitioner that got me on regular medication to help level out the extreme emotions that I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I kept with therapy. And then probably the middle of March, my ex was in between February and March. He would come in the mornings because he owned a business and ran it out of the house. That was difficult for me because he had his own space, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I would try to avoid him when he would come into the house. I would go into the bedroom and lock the door, and he would knock on it and want to talk to me. And it wasn't in like a nice manner. It was an aggressive manner. And I would ignore him.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, nope, I need my space. Like, I can't have him constantly coming into my space.
And creating drama. Like,
Yes. We also had a ring cam on the door so he could see when we were coming and going. I wasn't the administrator of it. And so I felt very violated. Yeah. You know, the ring cam you want is safety, you know, who's coming to your door. We used it mostly for deliveries of his product that was coming. And we lived in a kind of a nice neighborhood, but there was a lot of weird stuff that would happen. So the ring cam was for security, but then it becomes your enemy because it's not only tracking everything outside, it's tracking you.
Yeah. And you're at a time when you need your autonomy more than ever. Like when you need to reclaim your independence more than ever, it's like this huge thing.
Yes. So I got very annoyed because sometimes I would get texts from him. Where are you going? What are you doing? Or phone calls. And I'm like, it's none of your business. So the middle of March of 2021, he said, we have to talk. I should say before that, I kept getting visions of a picture. It was a picture of my kids in this picture with my ex-husband or soon-to-be ex-husband and this girl.
Okay.
And all I could see was blonde hair. I could see like the face shape, but I couldn't see what she looked like. And she was kneeling in a weird picture. And I was like, who is this person?
Yeah.
Like, I know this is, there's something.
Yeah.
And then when he came over in March, he goes, we need to finish this. We need to get the paper signed. We need to do this. I need love. And I lost my shit.
Yeah.
I go, who is she?
Ooh.
You can't lie to me. You know that I have this ability that I will see things and
right.
they come. Who is this? And he's like, no one. I'm not seeing anybody. And I said, you may not be seeing them, but you see them.
Yeah, there's someone.
Who is, yes. And he's like, there's no one. And I said, I don't believe you. I said, is this why? And he's like, no. I was pretty upset. That was another breaking point after he left. I went upstairs, sobbed my eyes out, had a couple panic attacks.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't choose this. I don't want this. This is not what I want. So a couple days after that, I sat down and I said, I don't want to be alone in this life. And I wrote down a list of a potential partner of what I would like to see, because clearly my former partner is not who I want to be with. And I wrote down in detail who I wanted to be with. I wrote down blonde hair. I wrote down love activities, outdoors, love family.
Yeah.
Loves to travel. Is active. I can't remember the whole list. I don't even know what I did with it. I feel like I burned it.
Yeah.
Just so that, like, it wasn't found.
Oh, right. I was like, yeah, to send it to the ether. And you're like,
I
just
did.
In case. Yeah.
Sent it.
So this, like, for you, I have to assume that this was like equal parts psychological and spiritual in practice.
Yeah.
When you were sort of like going through the worst of it, but also like at this point where you're coming out of the worst of it,
mm-hmm.
like how did your spirituality come into play? Did you notice signs of support? And I know you've used the phrase, I don't choose this, throughout this interview. So is that like a mantra that you came up with, or do you feel like you were being like told, like, you need to be saying this to yourself? Like, how did that spiritual relationship sort of unfold throughout this?
So with my spirituality, I do feel like things are, I really love hypnosis. So I should preface with that. And I've read so many books about it, and they all kind of basically come down to the same thing. We are all from one source.
Mm-hmm.
When you regress back to the death state or dead state, we're all kind of like a rug where we're woven in together with different experiences, past, but we're all still one.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes our contracts with each other are done.
Yeah.
And it's time for you to move on and grow in a different way. And so I tried to look at it as an opportunity of growth. And I said, I know that some of the terrible things that are happening, I don't deserve. However, this is pushing me in a direction of growth. And I must say, I do have a cousin that lives up there and an amazing best friend that would come and tear me out of the house and take me out to dinner and make me go do things.
Yeah.
And call me and make sure I was okay. So with that sign of support, they're like, you're going to be okay. You are loved. You are worthy. Yes, he's being a jerk right now. You're going to be okay in the end.
Right.
So with that spirituality of already being metaphysical and then the hypnotherapy and then just kind of piecing it all together and saying, I want to choose something for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're young, you don't think about manifesting who you want.
That's
you kind
true.
Of have to live through life and live it. And then as you get older, you're like, well, that doesn't work for me anymore.
Yeah.
I'm choosing this. So with that manifestation of that person, I would really sat and thought about it. I was like, I want them to be fun and active and, you know, everything that my ex wasn't. Yeah. I can say that.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I want them to be fine, you know? So, you know, I really just, there were times where I would, I'm not a big religious person, but I would pray.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want this anymore. Like I was begging and pleading. I don't choose this. This is not my choice. What can I give myself power in? Choice.
Yes.
I choose different. Mm-hmm. So just having that power, I want to say power and ability to acknowledge I choose this, mm-hmm. something different. That was the biggest thing for me, was giving myself power. I choose different. So I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that. I get it. I know. I think you're explaining it perfectly. I just think that inherently when we start talking about our spiritual practices, they immediately start to sound convoluted as they come out. But I think that like anyone who's, you know, in the occult or the esoteric realms have their brains are wired that way. So it makes more sense than I think we realize when we're all talking to each other. So you're just like, you've made this active choice. Mm-hmm. You've brought yourself back to stability, realizing that you have to rebuild and realizing that you have to reclaim your power and that the only thing you control are your choices. So what did those steps start looking like for you now that you're like, okay, time to rebuild? Like, where did your focus go initially?
So I had previously had already talked to my ex before he decided that we were getting a divorce. I said, I'm not happy at my current job and I want to quit next year at the end of March. And he was like, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know, but I want to find something that makes me happy. I had always kept a corporate job because he had his own business. So, you know, it was like an exchange, you know, I did the insurance and the healthcare and things like that so that he could carry his business.
Right.
So funny enough, because I was so sick and could not perform my job, it was very physical, they gave me an option of taking FMLA or being fired.
Jeez.
That was the end of March. And I said, FMLA.
Yeah.
And that gave me the stability of grouping myself back together. Because I didn't have anywhere to be. The only thing I had to do was get my kids to school.
Yeah.
I could be at home. I could clean the house. I could just be instead of
take care of yourself.
Yes. And that was kind of the start of it.
Right.
Where I knew I was making huge choices and there was going to be a big shift in what I was doing. And I knew that I could not afford to keep my house. The area that we were in is a resort town and everything just skyrocketed in price.
Yeah.
So I was starting to plan out, you know, what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go. I had already planned I was going to move south to family. And I kind of just kept everything to myself and talked to my friends and my cousin that I had because I didn't want to upset the kids any more than necessary. I didn't talk to my ex at all about where I was going.
Yeah.
And what I was planning, because I didn't want any hate or shame or discouragement of me moving forward. So one of my friends had taken me out to dinner and she's like, what are your plans? What are you going to do? You know, I told her and I said, you know, I kind of just want to see what's out there. If there's any, I don't want to do one night stands, but I need to focus I can't just sit in my house and do nothing all day. I love to go out and meet new people. And I said, this dating realm, I said, I haven't been dating in like almost 20 years. Like this is a new thing. And So I downloaded a couple apps, and I don't recommend Tinder. It's a cesspool.
No, I hated Tinder for like the brief time that I used it. I was like, no.
There is a lot of turds in the dating pool.
It's like Tinder gross. To me is like going to the douchiest nightclub in town and like trying to remember downloading it after my divorce when my friends were all on it. Like, you gotta do Tinder. And there was only one date I ever went on, and it was because it was like some science nerd. But other than that, like, it was just like so skeezy, and the conversation was so uninteresting. And I was like, I don't like getting hit on in public. Like, I don't like getting hit on in person. Like, why am I condensing it into an app and having it like quick fired at me? So what, like,
it's funny. I downloaded Bumble. That was the one that I really loved because you got to make the first move.
Yeah.
And I was only on these apps for a few weeks. I had already made my manifestation list. And I go, this is kind of like fishing in the dark.
Yeah.
Like, you could catch a shoe, you could catch a really nice bass. Like, you don't know. I called it Let's Go Fishing, which is hilarious. I said to my friend, I go, let's go fishing and see what's in the pond.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, there were a few guys that messaged me back. And then my current partner is the one that actually talked to me and didn't ask me what my cup size was or, you know, sent me a dick pic. So I was like, okay. So we talked for a few weeks. We had a lot in common. And he lived 2 hours away from where I was currently living. And I said, you know, let's meet up. Let's have lunch or something. And my friends all thought I was nuts.
Yeah.
They were upset. They were like, don't go to his house. You don't know him. My main best friend, she's like, what's his first name? What's his last name? What's his real name? Where does he work? You know,
I'm definitely that friend. I'm definitely the like, go do whatever you want, but I need to know where you're going and with who.
That's exactly what she did.
Yeah.
She had me on Snap and then she's like, unghost yourself. I want to see where you are. And I was like, okay, fine. Fine. So I did, and in doing that, I forgot that my daughter was also on Snap. My kids did not know I was looking. But I had gone on a date. We hit it off. He was very sweet, very kind. Everything that he had told me was true because he gave me his name, what he did, where he worked. I Googled him, made sure he didn't have like an assault record, you know, with the sheriff's office.
Totally.
That he wasn't a pedophile. And,
like all the things you check for sure.
Yes. So I felt very safe, which is odd because for me, I don't typically feel safe just going and meeting people, especially 2 hours away.
Yeah.
It was awesome. We got to meet, we chatted. We had a good time. He invited me over, so I saw his house, and I went home. It was a great time, and I ended up coming back down the next day, and again, I had forgot that I wasn't on Snap, or that I had unghosted myself so my daughter could see where I was. She's older, I was gone pretty late the second time. And at that time, my son was sharing time with me and my ex. So I would never leave my son by himself.
Right.
My daughter was older and in college. So, you know, it wasn't like I was not seeing my children.
Yeah.
She had called me on my way back home. It was like 11:30 at night. And she's like, where are you? Are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. I didn't say anything. I said, I'll be home in a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it was my personal joy that I got to go on an adventure. I got to go see and meet new people. So I didn't want to share anything yet. It was just a person right. that I'd met. So well,
yeah.
curious.
And also, yeah, like not wanting to like have her emotional fallout until you were sure about something, you know? So I could feel like exactly. there are a lot of different angles as to like why you'd want to keep that to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And my friends knew where I was, and my best friend would text me, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm fine." She's mm-hmm. like, "You have to respond or I'm going to freak out." I'm fine. So, you know, I remember the following day after that, my ex had shown up and he's like, "Where were you last night?" He said, "Does it matter?"
Yeah.
And he was very angry. And he goes, "You know, you weren't home and the kids were worried about you." And I was like, "You don't get to do this."
Right.
"No." I said, "You have shattered me into a million pieces and I am slowly piecing myself back together. How dare you come in here and do this?"
Yeah.
So I started to feel unsafe because he was constantly coming in angry. And I asked him to not. And he's like, "Well, I still run a business. I'm still going to be in and out." And I said, "Okay, then you don't need to come in the house. There's nothing for you in the house. You moved all your clothes and stuff.
Right.
Can you please not?" That was very hard for him because he was so used to being able to come and do as he pleases. And I'm drawing boundaries. And that was very hard for him. Soon after that, it was probably the middle of April, I started seeing my current partner more. I would come down on the weeks that I didn't have my son. He was still in school. So when he was with his dad, I would come down for a week and then just enjoy. And it was the most peaceful, calming, restful time because I could go to sleep and know that my ex isn't going to barge through that door and start aggressively trying to have conversations with me.
Right.
So it was very healing. I was far away. He couldn't hurt me. I was safe. And it was peaceful.
Yeah. Like that physical distance.
Yes. And that was something I really needed. So, that went on for a month or two. And then come the end of the school year, which was in June, I had said to my current partner, I said, "You know, I have to make a choice. I have to move. The house has to go up for sale. And I'm going to move down south with my family." And he's like, my current partner just said, "You know, would you think about living here? It would be closer to your son if he chooses to stay with your ex. And I would love it if we could give this a try." And I felt kind of odd because, you know, I wasn't even officially divorced yet. Like right. we hadn't even signed all the papers but I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And so I felt a bit guilty, but then also free, if that makes sense. Like I was free because I knew that my ex had decided he was no longer married. So I was free of that.
Right.
And I can make my own choices and without guilt or shame because it was for me this time. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people going through hard breakups forget that they have a choice when it comes to caring for themselves and choosing for themselves and not allowing other people to cast guilt or shame on them because it isn't the choice that other person would choose for you.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Like all those outside influences.
Yes. And I basically got to the point where I was like, I have to do what's best for me.
Yeah.
And is it going to hurt either way? Absolutely. Is this going to be better for me? Absolutely.
Right. Well, I think it's like one of those things where you do have to like it's like you can't help but consider how it looks. Like I'm not even divorced. We broke up in December.
Yeah.
It's June. Yeah. And I'm going to like move in with my guy that I've been seeing since what, March? Or like, you know what? Me and my boyfriend moved in with each other after 3 months. So I feel like I know exactly what that is. Like when you're like, shit, like this is really fast and what are people are going to think? But like, if you know it's right, then really like all that stuff will fall away. And if you don't know it's right and it doesn't fall away, then it might not be. But if you know it's right, like you just move with it.
Yes. So I realized he hit all of those points on my manifestation list. You know, the first time that we stayed, like the first time I stayed over, we went up to the property that he has and we rode a four-wheeler and it was everything that I was looking for. Yeah. I was like, I love this man. Like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Like, how do I love this person and I barely know him? Like, this is some high school wild puppy love crush crap. Like, what the hell? Like, this is wild. But in the same sense, it felt healthy and it felt good.
Yeah.
Because it was a different kind of love. It was reciprocal and it was joyful. There was no work in it. It was just there.
It was easy. Did you like try to find red flags or did you like try to find like what, like, is there something I'm not seeing right now?
Yeah. So something I really hate is red flags.
Yeah.
And the whole idea around them because we are such multifaceted beings and you're going to have strengths that the other person may not, and you're going to have weaknesses that the other person may not.
Right.
Can you counterbalance them? Can you work together with that gap? No one is perfect. So we are all imperfect beings. And so are there things that, I thought were concerning? Yes. But I learned that having a voice and saying, hey, why is this? Or, you know, what are your thoughts about this? Learning to communicate in a positive manner, not pointing your finger and saying you. That's very inflammatory. What does that do for the conversation? Nothing. It makes them defensive. So for me, I would always approach any situation and, hey, what do you think about this? Or, hey, I'm feeling like this. How can we make the situation a little better? Or what are your thoughts? So for me, I don't necessarily look at red flags. I look at how can we communicate and come together and make it better.
I mean, I think that's, I love that.
So I like to compromise. Yeah. I like communicate and I like adventure. So I kind of look at, you know, is this a new adventure that we can come together on? Is this something we can explore? Is this something that is going to help us grow?
Yeah. And like, can we choose to get along or can we choose to like bridge gaps?
No, and I you can always kind of tell the temperature of the other person. Like, do they have the capacity to have this conversation right now?
Yeah. Well, that's like a huge thing. And I think that's a huge thing for empaths because I've seen empaths who aren't like attuned to how much they pick up on. And I've seen them just throw like seething hate at each other because it's just like that energy just keeps getting exchanged back and forth versus like, I'm getting a read on this person and now it's not the time. And like, maybe it's not the time for me either. Cause like I'm hopped up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's a really important thing for people to like consider in their relationships, like any relationship, family, friends, romance. Okay. So you decided to move in, not just move close, like move in, right?
Yes. I actually moved in June of 2021 and boy, was that, it was awkward, but also exciting.
Yeah.
When I had told my ex back the month previous, I said, hey, I'm going to be moving and I'm going to be moving to Lewiston. And he was very angry and wanted to argue and fight, and especially over my younger son. And I said, why don't we let him choose and I am okay with whatever he chooses, because you have to be.
Right.
Like, this child is the victim of the situation. Mm-hmm. And as a child of divorce, I know what it's like to have parents that split and be stuck in the middle. Right. And I didn't want that for my son. So I said to my ex, I go, let's let him choose and we'll split the summers. And he was okay with that for a little while. My son chose to live with him because my son loved the school that he was going to. I mean, you can't rip a child away from a community if that's where they feel safe.
No, totally. I mean, honestly, thinking about like where my priorities were when I was a kid, it was all about the social life.
Yeah. So why did I not do that? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, that's weird. My screen kind of like went black. Like, I've never seen it do that.
Oh, weird. I don't know what to say about that.
I know. All I see is myself and I'm like, where did she go?
Are we back to normal? You can see me okay?
I can't see you yet. That's so weird.
Oh, weird. I've been having like, I don't know if it's like something on my end. I can see you okay. I've been having like spooky stuff in my house lately. I don't know.
Our Alexa keeps going off and I think it's hilarious.
Oh my God.
My partner, he's not into like the, you know, the ethereal or spooky or anything like that. And she'll just prompt and say something weird and in the middle of the night.
Oh my just kind of laugh. In the middle of the night. You know what? I had a really weird thing happen. I was going to a concert and I was just walking through my room. There were no sounds in the house. Like, I was home alone and I wasn't talking, you know, at all. I was just like literally grabbing something and then leaving for this concert. And all of a sudden I hear my Alexa and it's like cheering sounds. And then it said, have fun tonight. And I was like, what? So then I was like, Alexa, repeat that. And she was like, there's nothing to repeat. And I was like, all right.
What?
I guess that you can go on your Alexa app and find out what prompted like the thing to say something, but it's none of it's hooked up to my phone. It's all hooked up to my boyfriend's phone. So I never check.
Yeah. We'll be watching Game of Thrones and then she'll just say something wild. And I'm like, what is that?
She's just like commentary now. It's just like her Alexa Game of Thrones commentary.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, NSA.
Yes. That's so weird.
I watched it on the Game of Thrones.
I want to get back because we're getting close on time and I want to get back to sort of like, so you moved in, you're building a new life. Like, the kids are, like, you know, your son's settled. Like, decisions have been made. I assume you're in the process of selling the house. And then you decide, like, you're going to follow through on this career shift, right? So how did that come into being?
So I had taken about a year off from work. And how I did that was there was the COVID Relief Act. You could pull your retirement, your 401k without penalties. And that's how I sustained myself during this. So I wasn't living off of my ex or anything like that. It was all from my former retirement. It wasn't a lot, but it was enough to help me come back together.
Yeah.
So I feel very lucky and grateful that I had that. I should say that.
Yeah.
I had gotten a job that August as a caregiver. And it was an amazing job. I got to meet a lot of wonderful people. I still talk to some of my clients and I love the elderly community. They have so many fun stories and life experience that I love hearing about. However, I really thought about, what do I want to do with myself? Like, what really interests me?
Yeah.
What do I want to do with myself? And I've always loved aesthetics. I love waxing. That is like probably my favorite thing in the world to do is body waxing.
Yeah.
And I had been waxing myself for a long time. And I was like, you know, I had kind of looked into this back when I was working at my former job. let's look into it. And there happened to be a school here in the area that I had moved to. And they were going to start a fall class. And that was exciting. So I had worked as a caregiver for about a year. And move over to 2022, I got accepted into the aesthetics program. And I went through it. Loved it. It was amazing. I learned a lot, still learning a lot. It's an endless career. You learn so many things every day. I graduated, when was it, in January.
Yeah.
And I started my new job at a salon. And I'm the only esthetician. And I love it. It is one of my favorite things that I've ever done in life.
Yeah. Well, it was cool. Yeah. It was cool to see you go through this sort of transformation, which, like, to me, I was like, damn, like, she just, like, she just moved the fuck on. Like you had your rough patch and then you're like, all right, new life, let's do it.
Yeah.
And so like, it was just so cool to see, like, it was just so cool to see like all these changes happen for you. But then like when you were decorating your space at the salon that you're at now, I was like, that has to feel amazing because it's like truly your space.
Yes.
Because like, even though you like, you know, you never had your house to yourself ever, even after the divorce.
Yeah.
And then obviously like you moved in with your new boo. So like this, this is you, all you. And I think that's like, there had to have been like so much empowerment in that.
Yes. Yes. Lizzo was one of my favorite songs to listen to. I can't remember the name of the song, but she's like, check your nails, you know, toss your hair. Like, if he don't love you no more, you walk your fine ass out that door. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna.
Yes.
So, you know, just loving myself, knowing what my values are and what I am true to, and actually putting myself first.
Yeah.
As a mother, you often lose yourself in your kids' needs and your partner's needs and what everyone else needs from you. So you're always giving from everything. And this time I gave to myself. Mm-hmm. And that is probably the most powerful thing I could have done, is giving to myself, allowing myself that space, allowing myself that love and healing, and knowing that I'm worth it. And you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to build that up. So
yes.
I choose this.
I love that. As soon as you're like saying that, my printer, I don't know if you can hear it, my printer is just like making all these weird sounds all of a sudden. I'm like, great. Thank you so much for, I feel like there's still so much we could pull back on. And I'm like, man, like this interview could really just like keep going on. Cause I feel like there's still so much we could discuss, but I don't want to draw it out for too long, but I wanted to ask you, like, what would you say to people who are at this transitionary period where they are, you know, like either at a loss or trying to rebuild or know that something's coming and they're going to have to rebuild? Like, what would you say? And what do you think in terms of like spiritual or meditative practices were the most helpful for you?
Probably salt scrubs.
Oh, for that cord cutting, I guess, right?
Cord cutting. Every day I got this salt scrub from Trader Joe's, the lavender. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite. And I would just say, I no longer want this. Yeah. I shed my skin. This is not what I want. And it's almost just washing all of that energy off of you. And I used it until I didn't need it. There would be days where I would just feel very consumed by some of the negative stuff that was going on. And I would soak in a salt bath. I would give myself new experiences. I think that's also very important, is getting out there and seeing new things, because you build positive thought around new experiences. Mm-hmm. Choosing yourself you have to choose yourself. You have to get really real about what you want. What do you want? There's nothing wrong with wanting something. There's nothing wrong with making your dreams come true. And there's nothing wrong with your dreams changing.
Ooh, that's a good point. The change, because I think people sometimes hold on just because they're like, well, this is always what I've wanted, so I guess I need to like still want it. Yeah.
It's scary and it's uncomfortable. And when change happens around you that you can't control, you either choose to be consumed by it or you can choose to grab a hold of it and say, okay, this is an opportunity. What do I want?
Yeah.
And that is probably the most powerful thing. What do you choose? What is important to you? What are your values? And those all kind of come together. Writing lists every day. What do I choose? Gratitude is huge. I was grateful that my kids still loved me. I was grateful that the sun was shining. Writing those small things really kind of rewires your brain into positive thought instead of being consumed by that negative feeling of out of control.
Yeah. I think that those are the practices that like, I feel like we all in some way know are accessible, but like not like it can, like it takes a certain something to be like, no, I'm actually going to sit down and write this down. Like it's more than like making a mental note.
Yes. It's very cathartic. Mm-hmm. Because you can go back and look at these words that you wrote that were so painful and tearful as you wrote them and not having any sadness with it anymore.
Yes.
And that is true healing. And knowing that you are in such a vulnerable place of pain and suffering and realizing that you chose differently. And that is so powerful.
And that you pulled yourself out of it.
Yes. That was probably the hardest thing you'll ever do is pulling yourself out of that dark spot. And that is it, is choosing not to look at the dark, look at the light, look at what you can surround yourself with and the small joys. Small joys, like I was saying, you know, write it down. The dew beads on the grass, the sun hitting your face,
yes.
That warm cup of coffee, the small joys bring bigger joys.
Because I totally agree. And it slows your brain down. Like if you're in this cerebral, traumatized, like survival mode and you're like, I'm just going to like check out this dewy grass for a minute. It gives you a little reprieve from like processing. But I also think too, like once you come out of a dark place, it's like, come for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like it makes you braver. It's like, I've already been through it. Like you can't hurt me more than I've been hurt. And if somehow I'm hurt again, it's not going to hit the same way because like, I already know I can carry myself out of it.
Yes. Yep. And it is kind of like a phoenix rising from the ashes. You're like, mm-hmm. I feel amazing. Like I can make choices. I can do what I want. I can go have that late night drink with my best friend. I can go have dinner with my family. I can do what I want. I can sit in my underwear and do nothing today. Like it's the small things that you have to choose for yourself and not just sitting there and letting it consume you. And that is the hardest part for any breakup. Yes, go through your grieving period.
Right.
That is super important. Are there things that are going to kind of jump back out in the future that might hit that little part of you that might have a crack? Absolutely. But you have to make that active choice of not acting on it and saying, I acknowledge you. I see you. We're not there anymore. We're fine. We're safe. We're good. Like just self-talk is huge. And I didn't realize a lot of that until I went through therapy. So a lot of this is therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about the internal dialogue. It's true.
It is. And like I said, if you are in that space where you feel like you cannot get out of that dark hole by yourself, seek help.
Yeah.
Seek help. It saved my life. It helped me tremendously. And I would say without it, I don't think I would be here. I think that I would have been consumed mm-hmm. by the grief and the sadness and that's not me. I love life. I have so much fun.
Yeah. No, you're such a vibrant, Like, you're such a vibrant spirit. So it's totally not you.
Thank you.
But I think, like, yeah. I will say that, like, from what I could see, like, I don't know. I just feel like once you made the choice to, like, gather your strength, you were unstoppable.
Yes. I felt pretty fierce for a while. Like, you've already hurt me so badly. Like, what's left?
Yeah.
Come at me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's go to the parking lot. Let's go. Let's not have a fight. Like,
yes.
That's kind of my attitude about it, where I was just like, what more can you do?
Totally.
So it's, you know, after everything is said and done, my ex and I do have a good co-parenting relationship. And I always just hope for growth and care for him, because every person deserves love, whether it's internal, external. They all deserve love and care just like the next person. So, you know, and that's all I can do is, you know, I kind of close my eyes and just throw roses at them. Like, I wish you love, you know, because hurt people like to hurt other people. And I always try to remain kind, but strong. Like, I'm not going to participate this into, you know, with all of this crazy crap today. Like, I choose no.
Yeah.
No is a complete sentence.
It's huge.
Again, reclaim. Power.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like huge. It's huge making the decision not to participate when someone wants to like throw negativity at you and just being like, I could give this my energy or I could give my life my energy. And it's like choosing your own life. Yeah. Like that's actively what you're doing is choosing your own life when you don't give when you don't give into the nastiness.
Yeah. What kind of person do I want to be? Not that.
Yeah. Well, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
I still don't choose that. You know, I still try to maintain to be a good person. And if someone wants to throw shade, I'm like, sorry, you're having a bad day. Like,
yeah, it's just like, you just got to let it roll off. Cause it's like, I'm too busy. Like I'm too busy.
Yeah. So, you know, choose yourself, and it doesn't have to be self-absorbed like or anything like that. Just choose yourself.
Yeah.
I follow a lot of self-help people. Your Diagnonsense? Is it Todd Bratt? I like him. He's amazing. He makes you feel like you're not crazy. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes when culture wants to diagnose you in a certain way, it's not really true. It's just cultural standards and garbage that people want to throw at you, especially during a divorce of guilt and shame. And whether you're leaving that partner for a certain reason or your partner's leaving you, just know that divorces happen, breakups happen. People do move on. You can choose to move on in power and love and kindness, or you can choose to move in more of a negative fashion of hate and anger and regret and throw swords that you've already stabbed yourself with.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
No.
So
it takes power. Away. It takes away from everything else.
Yes. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think my story is any more unique than the next person in hard breakups and divorces. But power and choice. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can say is love yourself. Choose for yourself. Get really real with yourself. Go get help. Read self-help books. Learn yourself.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Learning yourself separate from this other person and I think separating from someone makes you realize how much your partners influence your state of mind and your energy levels and your mood. And so it makes it's almost like a lesson in learning how to protect your own energy, like, and separate your energy from other people, not just like in a general sense, but in your next relationships. Like when is it important to put an energetic boundary between you and your partner? Like, when are you being affected? So, well, thank you so much for sharing your story with me and with all the listeners. You plugged your Instagram at the beginning. If you want to plug it again really quick, or you're like, I don't know if there's anyone in your area that listens to this, but if you want to plug your salon, I'll just like give the soundboard over to you for your closing.
Perfect. I am KCShea82. It is a private account. If you say, if you send me a message and say, hey, I heard you on the Glittercast or the Witch Doctor, I don't know which one we're
this
on.
This is the Glittercast, yeah.
Still love the Witch Doctorate.
I do too. I do too. She'll make a comeback, but we're on the Glittercast train right now.
I love the Glittercast. Yeah, if you send me a message, you can also follow me on my professional account at SC_Casey. I am the only esthetician at that salon. I don't want to put too much there just because.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
But you can follow me on all my skin journeys. And yeah, so
awesome.
It's quite fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.